It's time to swing into the golf world of today with Springdale Golf Live. Sponsored by our friends at the New Jersey Golf Foundation. Here's your host, Keith Stewart.
Members, friends, and players, good afternoon and welcome to Springdale Golf Live. I'm Keith Stewart, and I'll be here entertaining you on this Friday afternoon. Thank you for tuning in to Fox Sports, 920 AM. Well, it's the summertime, so for those of you tuning in from the Jersey Shore, this one is for you.
The screen door slams, Mary's dress waves. Like a vision, she dances.
All right, welcome to Springdale Golf Live. That's our song of the week. It's the boss, Bruce Springsteen. And he's out of Asbury Park, New Jersey, so a little Jersey Shore, August, Al. It's that time of year. Everyone's migrating down there, so I thought I would throw on a little Thunder Road there by Bruce.
Sounds good.
You know, very appropriate choice. And as it turns out, the nickname of Bruce Springsteen, as we all know, is The Boss. Mm-hmm. And in our second segment today, we have The Boss of the PGA coming on today, and that's Dan Pastrnak.
Fantastic.
Who is a local pro, PGA pro, who has won the National PGA Professional of the Year, the highest honor one can win. So, although he has an incredible record of service, he would never say he's the boss, but I know he's a boss fan, so I put that on for them this week, and you know, a little Bruce Springsteen for him, a little Thunder Road, and it's so great to be back here on Friday afternoon. It's 920, Fox Sports, The Jersey, 920thejersey.com. Don't forget your smartphones, and hit me up on social media at KJPGA on Instagram or Twitter. I love all the feedback and the ideas and stuff and questions that I get. And most recently, we've been running it on the podcast waves, Al, on both iTunes and Google, and you can come to 920thejersey.com. You can go to all these places, and if you missed the live show at 3 o'clock on, you know, what is today, August 17th, you can certainly catch us all weekend, or you can listen to it again while you're down there on the shore, and it's been a beautiful August. It's been a great week, and so happy it kind of brought us in there with that New Jersey riff, and it's time to start talking about what happened this week. And the first things first is that we are so happy to be working with such a great partner in the New Jersey Golf Foundation. And this past Monday, they had just another tremendous for the 12th edition of their Golf Classic, which is their outing they hold every year to raise money for the foundation. And they celebrated a gentleman by the name of Mike Sotola from the Thoranco Group. He was their 2018 Chairman's Award winner. Now, Michael is a fantastic man, and that's basically because he is a diehard New York Rangers fan, just like me, Al. No, just all kidding aside, he has done fantastic things for the New Jersey Golf Foundation, and I'm so happy that they are celebrating him, and they celebrated so much and had such great success at the event this past Monday. Kudos to them. And, you know, the president, another tie-in here, Al, the president currently of the New Jersey Golf Foundation is Dan Pastrnak, our interview today. You know, the symmetry in what's going on right now, it's just unbelievable.
It's like the stars and the moon are aligned.
And sometimes they are.
That's true.
You know, it's just really, really, it's just so much fun to come to all of you on Friday afternoon here with Al, and sometimes it's Adrian, but this afternoon we're going to get Dan, and we're going to have some fun with him, and, you know, let's keep moving on, though. So a little tower talk, you know, and so I digress. A little tower talk here. So tomorrow at the club, our teaching professional, who always runs these schools from time to time for the members there to participate and learn more about how to improve their game, reach their goals, et cetera, et cetera. So Vince Romagli is running a putting golf school tomorrow, player development school, just all about the subject of putting, you know, trying to be boss of the moss. And he's going to do that tomorrow afternoon. And the school's, if it's not full, it's got like one spot left. So if you're listening right now, you know, as soon as the show's over or during the break, call the shop and make sure you sign up. But it just, as it turns out, putting is my favorite part of golf, Al.
And why is that?
Well, it's the one thing that you feel like you could actually control or be good at. Okay. You know, the rest of it, it's like you close your eyes, you swing, and the ball goes somewhere. But when it comes to putting, it's one of those things where I feel like you could actually, you know, show some skill and have some finesse and be very creative with. So, and I love to be a creative person, and I think that putting can be fun. Mm-hmm. And as the self-imposed director of fun of Springdale, I think that, you know, anyone that's not signed up for tomorrow afternoon, when they start the school right there on the practice putting green off the patio of the club, you know, there's going to be a lot of interest in what's going on. And, you know, every year when Vince runs his putting school, it's super, super popular. And having participated before, one year we had like 20 people out. So Vince said, you know, I can't handle all of these people at once. You know, I'm better with about 8 to 10 at right. once. So he asked me to come out and do it. And it generally starts out with a conversation when you start talking about putting is, what's more important in putting? Is it the speed of the putt or is it the line that you choose? Because a putting green is not flat. Mm-hmm. You know, I know, Al, you're an expert in miniature golf, right? And you're
sometimes.
And your question was going to be, what's more important, the windmill fan or the block of wood that I hit it off of? But truth be told, there aren't any windmills on the greens at Springdale, and or clown's mouths or anything like that.
Right.
So the clown's mouth is right here in studio. So that being said, what's more important, speed or a line? So the greens aren't level, so you have to pick a line and try to guesstimate how much the putt's going to break right to left or left to right. These are uneven surfaces. But then it's, how hard am I going to hit this putt that goes, let's say, 10 feet? So we always ask this question of people, and everyone, you know, they're kind of 50-50 on it, which is totally not the case. And one of the things I know they're going to learn a lot about tomorrow is that speed is the most important factor. Because if you pick the perfect line and you hit it with not enough speed, it will go in 0% of the time.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Now, so if you have the correct speed and you get it around the hole, even if your guess on the line is a little off, sometimes you might hit the edge and it might fall in, but you're always going to be close to the hole. So what I wanted to do for the listeners today, every once in a while, I like to throw in a little golf instruction stuff, as this is a golf enthusiast show.
I know it helps me.
Well, exactly, right?
Keeps me away from the cinder blocks.
On social media, you know, it was about a month ago, we had Vince on, we had Radar Golf Pro on, and we were talking all about instruction, and I got tons of feedback on social media that week. So we've had a lot of busy weeks with the British Open and all the stuff that's been going on and the rap concerts and different things that we've been getting into. But I wanted to get back and have a little fun today, as you know, folks are sitting down there on the beach and they're just relaxing and then they're having their summer vacation. And I wanted to talk about what we could do to control our speed a little better when we're putting. Kind of a neat little novel concept, right, Al?
I think so.
All right. So first of all, one of the things that leads to bad control of speed when you're putting is that when you swing the putter, whether you're right-handed or left-handed, whether you're cross-handed grip, whether you use a longish putter or a short putter, it doesn't matter, is that you cannot have the handle swing less than the head. Okay? Mm-hmm. So picture a grandfather clock for a moment, all right? At the bottom, there is usually like a round or some sort of hanging pendulum that swings back and forth,
right.
All right? And there's a fixed end at the top. We do not want the grip to be a fixed end in our hands. So we don't want just the head swinging and then the butt end of the grip or where our hands is staying stationary. We want to be able to swing our hands as much as we're swinging the head of the club. Hmm. That will allow us much better control of the delivery speed of the head, which is just a fancy term for how fast the head is moving when it strikes the ball. The more consistently we can control the head, and so people will say, well, the head's 3 feet away from my hands. And I say, well, okay, the grip is in your hands. So let's work on controlling the grip. The smoother and the easier that you can swing the grip and not feel like the head end is just flying uncontrollably, the better you will be at controlling your speed. So if you're at home and you have a putter and you've probably already grabbed it already, I can see Al across from me at the board is over there already trying to feel what I'm talking about. When you swing the putter, you want to feel like it swings back and forth almost from thigh to thigh.
Mm-hmm.
All right. That's the handle moving. When you see that, if you do it in a mirror or if you have someone take a picture of you with a smartphone, you will notice that the head travels as much as the handle does and the shaft stays in a straight line. If that is the case, you're going to be much better at controlling your delivery speed. If it's not, you'll see that the grip stays in place and the kind of the head waves back and forth as if like there was like a gnat or a fly down by your ball and you're trying to wave them away. So keep the handle moving, and that's a little dynamics of what's going on that'll certainly help with your speed. Now, here's another thing. What sort of drills, practical drills, tangible tools can I take to the putting green, Al, in order to try to ingrain and create some brain memory, no muscle memory. Muscles don't have brain cells. Create some brain memory and some confidence when we're trying to control our speed. So the first thing is that every time I go to a tournament and I'm playing in a pro-am and there's amateurs there, a guy drops six balls and he putts from 10 feet to a hole. And they're always the same length. Never putt when you're practicing from the same length twice. Right. Always try to change the length. Why? Because that will have to change the speed. And it's the speed that we're really trying to master. It's not so much that if you're at your home course and you're on your practice putting green that you're not going to know the break, but you need to work on your speed. Not enough people practice speed. So hit those practice putts from different distances. The second thing is that how many people know how far a putt is? Well, take your time, and as you're playing your golf, don't be afraid to pace off the putt. Now, somebody will say, oh, Keith, this is going to take forever, slow play, blah, blah, blah. No, it won't. What will happen is that when it's not your turn, walk from your ball to the hole. First of all, you'll get a feel for the lay of the land. Is there a slope there? Is there any kind of like hidden softness to the green or texture of the grass? But when you walk to the hole, for men, basically 2 steps are 5 feet, and for women, 2 steps are 4 feet. In a normal gait, Al. All right. So if I walk over to the hole and I take, let's say, 7 steps, right? So 7 steps is, cut that in half, 3.5 times 5 is what, like 15 feet, right? So now all of a sudden that I know, did I do that math right?
You did.
Okay, good. The Jesuits at Holy Cross would be tremendously proud of my math aplomb. But so anyway. Now you know that you're going to hit a putt and it's going to go 15 feet.
Right.
So the next time you get a 15 footer, you kind of have a feel in your hands of how much you want to swing the grip again. So I certainly encourage all of my students to take at least one walkway to the hole and say, oh, this one's 40. This one's 10. That, you know, if it's inside of 10, it might be just too close, not too close to do the math, but you might already have a feel for it. If you're rushing and getting ready for a tournament round, do one from 10 and 20. If you walk off 40, it's double that of a 20-foot putt. So I certainly encourage all of my students to start to walk off their putts and kind of get a feel for how far is and then how hard we hit it when it's that far. Did you catch all that, Al?
Almost.
Because see, what happens is that when you know that you know, and you know that you know that you know, nothing else matters.
So in other words, I can't walk up to the hole and drop the ball in when nobody's looking.
No, but in all seriousness, we got off on a tangent there, having our little director of fun. But if you walk it off and you know that it's 20 feet and you've practiced some 10-foot putts at your course and you double the hit, the feeling of the hit, you're going to get the ball much closer to the hole and you're going to have a much more defined way to manage your speed. So I just wanted to touch upon that because I love putting and I know Vince is going to have this really successful putting school tomorrow and I know everyone that goes, they're going to be running around like walking billboards, just, you know, praising that they're going to putt better and they're going to have fun, just like the new PGA champion, our fourth major winner. And of course, after the break, we're going to have Dan Pastrnak, the boss of the PGA, with a little Thunder Road. Folks, it's 3:15 p.m. here in Princeton, 12:15 p.m. for our friends out in Monterey watching the U.S. Amateur. Thanks for tuning in. We'll be back in a few.
The New Jersey Golf Foundation, the charitable arm of the NJPGA section, is committed to positively impacting lives and communities through the game of golf. With a focus on 3 core pillars, youth, military, and special needs, the NJGF delivers dynamic programming under the guidance of PGA professionals, so individuals from all backgrounds can experience the game of golf in a welcoming environment. To support the NJGF or learn more about programs and special events, visit njgolffoundation.org. That's njgolffoundation.org. Let's get back on course as Springdale Golf Live continues on Fox Sports 920 The Jersey. Once again, Keith Stewart.
Good afternoon and welcome back to Springdale Golf Live. We're here on Fox Sports 920 AM The Jersey. That's 920thejersey.com. You know, to all of you all that listen, streaming on your computers and those smartphones. Don't forget that TuneIn app. And certainly, I love when you all hit me up on social media, on Instagram or Twitter. That's at KJPGA. Everyone that's been listening to our podcasts, appreciate it. And now, for the second segment today, we are bringing on a New Jersey gentleman who has done something that is completely outstanding, in my opinion. And I'm so happy and proud to bring on a fellow New Jersey PGA professional by the name of Dan Pasternak, who is the 65th recipient of the National PGA of America Professional of the Year. Dan, welcome to Springdale Golf Live.
Thank you, Keith. It's a pleasure to be with you.
So Dan is the general manager up at Essex Fells Country Club, which, similar to Springdale, has been around for 120 plus years. And in running the institution up there, he has been selected by his peers as the National Golf Professional of the Year. And part of what I wanted to do in the segment here, Dan, was just talk about how that process takes place. And, you know, what is the criteria for being selected Golf Professional of the Year?
Well, the award itself, as you noted, is the highest honor in the PGA of America. But the criteria are to be a model PGA member. It looks at your leadership ability. You have to show a strong leadership within the association and the community. Have a substantial record of service over the span of your career to the association and game. And also focuses on your record in educating and training and mentoring fellow PGA members.
Well, what's unique about that is that in doing my research for this interview today, I noticed that you were twice named the Professional of the Year here in the New Jersey section and four times named the Bill Strasbaugh Award winner, as well as the National Bill Strasbaugh Award winner. So strong moral character, record of service, leadership, those six section awards and one national award you've already won epitomize basically what they're looking for Pro of the Year. And what I think I'm most proud of is that you're the first New Jersey professional to win Pro of the Year. How does it feel to be, you know, Vanguard and be the first guy to represent New Jersey with the PGA's highest honor?
Well, although I've known for probably 2 or 3 weeks now, I really don't know that I've fully processed it yet. I was out in St. Louis last week for the PGA Championship and, you know, bumping into people that I didn't even know, wishing me well and congratulating me on the award or seeing me on television. It's really overwhelming. And it fills me with an awful lot of pride to know that we brought this award back to New Jersey. We have a lot of great golf professionals in New Jersey, and I feel like I'm just one of them.
Well, folks, we're here talking to Dan Pasternak. He's the general manager up at Essex Fells Country Club and the National PGA Pro of the Year. So a lot of people may not know this that's listening, Dan, but you and I are connected in a very unique way. We share a common bond. And certainly my members who are listeners to Springdale Golf Live would know that you were the head golf professional at Springdale from 2000 to 2002. Can you give us a little background on what you've been up to since your Springdale days?
Sure. I had a great time at Springdale. It was fantastic being down there working with the members in the university. But after leaving Springdale, I went up to Panther Valley Golf and Country Club up in northwest New Jersey. I spent 11 years there, the first 7 as the head professional. And then I transitioned into the general manager and head professional dual role for the next 4 years. After that, I moved on to Black Oak Golf Club, which is a new golf course out in Long Valley, New Jersey. It was fantastic to be a part of, you know, getting them on their feet and getting them started. Spent 3 years there. And then I've been the last two at Essex Fells Country Club. Like you said, like Springdale, Essex Fells is 122 years old. I think Springdale's 123. So a historic club, a great place, and a really family-oriented club that just enjoying every minute of it.
You know, about 2 weeks ago, I was up there to play in a New Jersey PGA Pro President tournament where Kevin Tylus, the president of Springdale, and I came up. And I tell you, we were members for a day. And your superintendent, your golf professional, Brian Gaffney, everyone just put forth a really special show. And, you know, certainly that comes from your general manager leadership. And, you know, that was one of the criteria of winning the award. But another one was a substantial record of service. Now, I spent some time on the board. While I was on the board, you were president of the board, but you've been a member of every committee and you've been on some national committees. What are you currently doing to contribute to the association nationally?
Well, right now, going back a few years, I spent a term on the national board that ended in 2016. But since then, I was asked by President Paul Levy to serve on a governance task force, which doesn't sound like a whole lot of fun, but it's actually been great, an opportunity to use the experience I've gained over the years, taking a deep look at the PGA of America's governance structure and recommending changes to help make the association and the game better. We were just out in St. Louis, like I said, last week, and we did a presentation to the board for some changes that we're hoping to make at the annual meeting in Palm Springs. And again, doesn't sound like the neatest assignment, but it really has been great rolling up my sleeves and trying to, you know, help make the association better. I've also served on the global committee, and the global committee is takes a look at what the PGA of America and how we might further opportunities for PGA members around the world. So looking for employment opportunities, looking for business opportunities around the world for the PGA. It's been a lot of fun.
Well, it sounds like you're getting into a lot of fun stuff there, and it sounds like you've been slightly busy. Well, folks, we're here with Dan Pasternak, who is the general manager up at Essex Fells, and he's also the president of the New Jersey Golf Foundation, which is a huge friend of ours. Now, with all this volunteerism, especially at the national level, I got to get one or two cool stories from you. Like, you know, last week was PGA week. There had to be something that you did when you were serving at the national level and you continue to do that, that you saw or you experienced that the average PGA professional or golfer would just think was like a really neat experience. So give me one or two of the coolest things that you got to see.
Well, I think the coolest thing is just the first time you walk into the boardroom and you realize the enormity of what you're doing in our little world of golf. You're walking in, you're going to be making decisions that impact, you know, not just the game, but the lives of your fellow PGA members. It's a great responsibility and a fun thing. But if we're looking at the coolest things I got to do, announcing at the PGA Championship on the first tee and the 10th tee was just great. I had the opportunity to announce Brian Gaffney, who now works here at Essex Fells Country Club, when he was the low club professional at Whistling Straits, which was really, really cool to announce somebody that you know so well. But also twice had the opportunity to be a forward rules observer at the Ryder Cup, first at Glen Eagles in 2014 and then at Hazeltine in 2016. And to be a part of that atmosphere, especially Hazeltine, when, you know, we were able to bring the Ryder Cup back. So really looking forward to September and the team's chances out in Paris.
Will you be involved in Paris at all?
Oh, boy, I'm trying to find any angle I can to get over there, but it doesn't look like I'm going to get to do it. But sure would be fun.
Yeah, you and me both. I put forth a memo to the folks here at Fox Sports about doing a remote broadcast from Paris. And, you know, I haven't heard back yet, but I'm still hopeful that it'll all work out.
I think that would be a really good idea. should be an amazing event.
You and me both. Well, hey, I'm so happy I'm here on the phone with Dan Pasternak, a good friend of mine and fellow New Jersey PGA pro, and we're having a good laugh. And to talk about something else that's really, really cool that I know is going on in your world is that your son Liam is quite a young, accomplished golfer. So much so that I'm pretty sure, was it last week or the week before, you were down at the U.S. Kids World Championships. And in the 11-year-old boys category, he was like in the top 50 of like 170 golfers. Tell me what it's like as a PGA pro and a lover of the game to pass this along to your son and to see him blossom so much as a good player.
You know, we had just a fantastic week. I took my entire family down, my wife, my 6-year-old son, Lee, and we made a vacation of it. But just so proud of him. You know, the game is his. He loves the game for himself. You know, I try not to be, you know, an overly involved parent, but just to give him the opportunity to play. He really did play great down there. The weather was terrible. He played through some of the worst of it, and during the final round, he had a shaky start. He was 4 over par after 3 holes, but he buckled down and got it back to 1 over and brought it home in a 75 in a really tough round. And you think about that, a 75 for an 11-year-old kid. But really just proud of the way he handles himself and grateful that he loves the game. And my 6-year-old played his first 18-hole round down there, and just awesome for my family, a great week, and thrilled that we can share golf together.
It's just such a cool thing. And, you know, kind of digging into what he was doing down there. Second year in a row, correct, that Liam's been down there?
Yes, yeah.
All right, so this year, they did play in some terrible weather. He had 5 birdies in 2 rounds. He shot 77-75. Again, folks, this is an 11-year-old. All right, so you know, I think that maybe what you're going to pass down maybe isn't pro of the year, but maybe player of the year, but I think you'd be fine with either, wouldn't you?
I'd just be happy if he just loves the game. As long as he keeps playing, that'll be all right with me. You know, if he decided tomorrow he wanted to stop, I wouldn't say anything to him, but I'm sure it would break my heart.
Well, and speaking about, you know, kids and passing along our love for the game, you and I as New Jersey PGA professionals, one of the things I definitely wanted to bring up and talk to you about today was that you are now the president in charge of the New Jersey Golf Foundation, which is the charitable arm of the New Jersey PGA, and just a huge supporter and friend of Springdale Golf Live. And what have they been up to lately? I know this past week was the Golf Classic. It just happened this past Monday. And, you know, you guys had another super successful day at Baltusrol. But tell me what's going on and what you look to do as the leader of the New Jersey Golf Foundation.
Well, yeah, we had a great week last week at Baltusrol. Baltusrol has been just amazing to us over the years, allowing us to host our biggest fundraiser there. Michael Cetola was our Distinguished Service Award winner, and we really had a great day celebrating him. I've been involved in the foundation since inception in 2004. Your neighbor over there at Cherry Valley, Alan Bowman, is really the one who I think we can credit with starting the foundation. He ran a golf marathon, I think it was in 2003, and we needed something to do with the money. And out of that growth, you know, we've been able to do an awful lot honoring our mission of impacting lives and communities through the game. Our golf and schools program has grown just beyond anybody's expectations. More than 100,000 kids a year go through it, one of our programs free of charge. We have a great relationship with the Special Olympics New Jersey and Els for Autism, running clinics and exposing special needs individuals to the game of golf. We have more than 30 PGA golf professionals in New Jersey that have been trained specifically to work with the special needs community. So that's been great. We have a great relationship with the VA hospital in Lyons, where we help veterans to get involved in the game and give them something to look forward to. And
you know,
that
Dan,
has been very helpful with their therapy.
I'm going to jump in there because, speaking of the VA work, I'm pretty sure that I read, it was probably 3 weeks ago now, that the Secretary's Cup, the third annual Secretary's Cup, which is a military outing involved with the PGA Championship where all the sections are represented, and New Jersey won for the second year in a row. So huge kudos to you and Chris Hunt, the guys running the New Jersey Golf Foundation, and the pros that are teaching those individuals and going out. You guys went out to St. Louis and they won second year in a row of the 3 years that they've run the Secretary Cup. So I think that was really, really cool.
It's great. It's great for them. And it's great exposure for the program as well. The program really is doing a lot of good. And sometimes, you know, these soldiers, they come back, they're struggling with post-traumatic stress, and golf is the only thing that gets them out of the house, looking forward to that lesson or looking forward to the chance to play. And you don't really think about it that way very often, but when we can use the game for something as powerful as that, it's a great thing.
I totally agree. So I have a little bit more time here, and I just have one more question for you. You know, you've done amazing things with the foundation. You know, congratulations once again on being the professional of the year. 22 years as a PGA member, and to be commended like that by your peers, just such a fantastic treat for us here in New Jersey to be able to celebrate that with you. But in talking about the next generation of golfer, if you could give maybe one piece of advice, and maybe you've even already said this to Liam, but I'm so fortunate that so many kids and families listen to Springdale Golf Live. To the next generation golfer, as pro of the year, what would you like to tell them?
I just love the game. Play. It's a lot of fun. Get your friends to play. PGA Junior League has probably been the greatest thing to happen to youth golf in my lifetime. You know, going down there to Pinehurst to see all the kids that are playing and how much fun they're having, it really gives me great optimism about the future of the game. But get out there and play. It's a lot of fun. And, you know, if you're struggling with it, call Keith Stewart.
Well, I love that advice, and I also love the call Keith Stewart advice. But Dan Pasternak, winner of the 2018 PGA Professional National of the Year. Just can't thank you enough for being on the show and for that great advice. Kids, families, everyone, get out there and play more golf. And when you do, those PGA pros that are there, there's no one that does it better. So, you know, you can certainly cue the music on that one, Al. There's no one that does it better than Dan Pasternak. Congratulations, Dan, from everyone here in the New Jersey PGA and Springdale Golf Live. Great job.
Thank you, Keith. It was my pleasure.
And there it is, our song of the week, Thunder Road by Bruce Springsteen, the boss. And it was chosen by the man, Dan Pasternak, who is the boss of the PGA this year. It's time for my thank yous. Thank you, of course, to my listeners, to my producer, Al, on the board, and certainly all the support I get from the members and the Board of Governors at Springdale. Well, folks, you know where I'm heading. I'm heading to Springdale. Where are you headed? Well, let the tower be your guide. And from Barnegat Light to Boston, and of course, everywhere online, may you all have a Springdale day.
You've been listening to Springdale Golf Live with Keith Stewart. Keith returns to the tee next Friday afternoon at 3 on Fox Sports 920 The Jersey.